Hey everybody, so a couple of things. I am uploading over to this feed to do two things. First of all, to remind you, we are now over on Retro Station. And so if you check your podcast app for Retro Station, you're going to find the new show with me and Steven, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. But please do that if you have not done so already. The second thing is that we also just launched a show called Tales from the Rusty Speeder, which is an actual play podcast where we play the tabletop role-playing game Star Wars Edge of the Empire for your entertainment. And I want to share with you the first episode right here. Now, if you search for that podcast, the entire first adventure is already uploaded, all five chapters. And so if you are the type to binge stories like that, then they are available for you to take a listen to. So without further ado, this is chapter one of Tales from the Rusty Speeder. Please do check for that in your podcast app, as well as Retro Station. We'll see you over there. The Techno Funk Boy presents Tales from the Rusty Speeder. Welcome. You are listening to Tales from the Rusty Speeder. This is an interactive, actual play game that uses the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars Edge of the Empire rule set. Oh, which is a long way of saying that we're going to play a role-playing game in the Star Wars universe, and we appreciate you tuning in. I am Kai.
And I'm Steven.
I'm going to be your game master for this adventure. Steven, you are playing the captain of our vessel, the Ula.
Yeah, the Ula. I'm Captain Snatch. That's short for Snatch Squatch, and I've got a great crew.
Yeah, so we really do think that you're going to enjoy this. Okay, so just a couple of quick notes. I said that this was an interactive actual play podcast, and I say that because you can actually participate and have an effect on the adventures directly. And there's a couple of different ways that you can do that.
Yeah, so one of the ways you could do it is while we're going through any kind of step where we start to roll dice to make decisions based on our stats and things like that, there is an opportunity to add or take away advantage from us. So it's just that kind of thing that, you know, you can add a threat to us, or you can basically take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you do is we play the game live on Twitch. It's at twitch.tv/technofunkboy. And while you watch, you collect channel points. They don't have to be bought. You don't have to subscribe to get these, but you will collect them as you watch. And then you can spend them to affect our roles. And so that's kind of a fun way for everyone to get involved in. And you're going to start hearing it. This first adventure we did not play on Twitch, but as you listen further, you're going to start hearing the players really interact and start shamelessly begging, I think is going to be the phrase, the audience for help in important roles. And so you can do that. The other way is, as you listen, and it's not in this adventure, but it's in an adventure coming up, the namesake for the show, which is the Rusty Speeder Bar and Grill. I don't think that's the official name.
I think it's just mostly a bar.
Right. Is going to get blowed up. and it needs to rebuild. And so if you go to our Discord server, and the link is in the description, but you can just look up Techno Funk Boy on Discord and you'll find us. You can go there, and by participating, you gain experience and levels, and you can actually use those levels to buy things for the Rusty Speeder. And whatever we in channel buy for the Rusty Speeder, that's what's going to be there. This is the home base for our team. And so whatever things you give them there, that's what they're going to have in game. And so do check that out. So Techno Funk Boy, both on Twitch and on Discord.
Sweet. So there's two different ways to summarize. There's one way you can watch us on Twitch and interact by gaining channel points and contributing to the roles of and actually affecting the outcome of the game in a real live way. And then there's also the join us on Discord, chat with us, talk with us, gain channel points, and then help to decorate our home base and put stuff around there and change the scenery. That'll be referenced in the game itself as well. So it's really a lot of ways to interact as a player and as a viewer.
And it actually will. It will affect what items are available to y'all. What things you can buy, what things you can upgrade. It's going to actually have a lot of effect on the game itself as we go forward. So we're going to jump real quick to our honorary scoundrel. This is once per adventure. We're going to name our honorary scoundrel. To achieve this, you can leave a review for us on Apple Podcast or another podcast app. Please, you know, shoot me a message on Twitter or on Discord that you've done that, so I can see that. Or by interacting in our Twitch feed, interacting on Discord, and we are going to retroactively name an NPC after you. Our honorary scoundrel for this adventure is our friend Jennifer Taylor, for being very loyal in helping us out with our roles on Twitch and being there for the players in their darkest hours.
We called out her name and help us, Jen, and right, she did come through. So we thank you.
So Jen, when you hear about the Aqualish character, and I think it's in chapter one, that character's name is now Jennifer Taylor. It was either that or the Exegorth, and I thought that the Aqualish would probably be better, but that's what we ended up with. So the last thing is, you are going to notice in your feed that there are 5 chapters for this particular adventure. What we are doing is, we're not uploading once a week or once every 2 weeks or whatever the case may be. Whenever we have a full adventure ready, we're uploading the whole thing for you. And so you'll totally be able to binge this Netflix style whenever a new adventure comes out. So that being the case, our release schedule is not going to be consistent, which means that the algorithms are going to be very confused about us, which actually makes it doubly important that you share this, that you rate and review us, that you share this with your friends, because I have a feeling that the algorithms are going to go a little wonky trying to figure out exactly what we're doing, but I did think I think we all thought that it'd be fun to give everybody the opportunity, if they wanted to binge the entire adventure right away, even if that meant waiting a little while till the next adventure came out. That way you're not waiting till next week for the cliffhanger to resolve or anything like that. You can listen from beginning to end in one sitting if you'd like, or split it up as you see fit. We're still going to split them up into chapters, and that's just so you don't have to download, you know, a 3-hour adventure. Split it up a little bit, but that will be out all at the same time.
Sweet.
So I guess without further ado, our first adventure is called Dreadnought, and I think we need to get to it so that we can learn a little bit more about our crew.
All right, strap your space belt, folks, and get ready for this ride.
Is it your space belt? Dreadnought, Chapter 1. Somebody explain to me, why is your captain not with you?
He fell asleep when we landed, and none of us cared to wake him up.
All right.
He was doing a bunch of spice.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So.
And the spice put him to sleep.
I guess.
This is a very familiar bar to you. This is kind of your home base. This is where you kind of keep your ear to the ground, try to figure out what's going on, where people go if they need something done. That's a little underhanded. So,
does the bar have a name?
I was going to ask, how about somebody describe the bar to me and what its name is? It's going to be a group participation type thing.
The bar is called the Rusty Speeder.
The Rusty what?
The Rusty Speeder.
Like a speeder bike?
Yes.
And it's called that because the bar top is actually an old rusty speeder bike.
Oh, that's awesome.
That'd be so cool.
That's good because it is cool.
Oh, yeah. It's very hip.
Yeah. That's why we shop here.
Did you just say we shop at a bar?
Yes, we shop at a bar.
We shop at a bar. The guy behind the bar, you know very well. His name is Charn Sneed. And he is the owner of this establishment. He's a heavy-set, kind of short, bald human, epic handlebar mustache, and kind of nods in your direction as you come in. He is, he's not the only one in town that does this, but he kind of keeps an eye on things for everybody and points them in the right direction of work or somebody who might be able to help him.
Does he serve droids?
Yes, he does. Yes. But do not, if you get too close to one of the gambling tables, it is very likely to cause some accusations of cheating. Even if you do not know the people involved, people here are might touchy. And so you've learned to just kind of hang on the other side of the room. Unless you just want to fight.
They don't like droids participating in the gambling?
Well, it's just one of those things that, telescopic vision, enhanced hearing, telepathy, the ability to, use your eye rays to, burn one of the cards out of somebody's hand. All of the stuff that droids can do on a daily basis. Y'all can't do that. Most of that stuff.
Someday,
right. So, as we get started, if everybody could go to the dice roller.
I'm there.
And what we need is from each person a single white dice.
All right, I've got two light.
I got two dark.
I got one light.
So, this is the force pool. What you can do with this is any of the light side points. If you want to, if you want to give a little extra oomph to one of your rolls, or if you want just to declare that something is a certain way in a situation, you can use a light side point and you'll turn it over and make it a dark side point. Now, so what it does when you add oomph to your roll is it upgrades one of the dice to a higher level. If as far as like a situation goes, and we'll go into dice roll, start dice rolling, but as far as like a situation goes, if you're running away from some band of orcs and you're in a narrow corridor, and you want two guys to be like moving a pane of glass across the corridor that you're going to slide under, you can ask, it's like, okay, if I flip a light side, can I make this two guys with a pane of glass there that will kind of get in the way? And I will probably say yes, and we will flip one of them over, and then it becomes a dark side. Guess who gets to use the dark sides in the same way?
Me.
Right.
Okay, I'm familiar with this concept. You get dark side dice.
Yes. So, now Charn has summoned you back. He says he's got a lead for you. Are you all heading over there, or just one of you, or are you going to leave him waiting and just kind of mosey around? Or are you going to leave? In which case, the game's over because I didn't prepare anything else.
Well, then we're not leaving. But at the very least, I'm not.
I think Pete should go talk to the barkeep.
All right, I'm going to walk up to the bar and not say anything. My presence alone should let him know I'm there, right?
Right.
I'll tap on the speeder with my metal fingers like...
clunk, yeah. Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Yep, exactly.
All right, in the meantime, what are the two of you doing?
I'm going to take up sort of a triangulize on that interaction. Like, I'm going to stand off to the side, to the back, away from the counter a little bit. Like, I'm keeping an eye on the room.
Okay.
I'm watching the door.
Cool. All right.
Keeping eyes out for the door.
So Sneed is Sneed's finishing up an order, grabs the towel, kind of wipes his hand off, and comes over and goes and says, P, glad you got my message. Kind of leans in, says, yeah, skinny little fella in here. He's something pretty big. Said he needed, you know, he needed a ship with some oomph, and y'all got the biggest one that of my crew, at least. You up for some deep space missions? Hey, it sounded like he could pay.
Did he say what it is?
Man, he wouldn't tell me a word. I didn't mean man. I didn't mean to offend you, Pete. Droid. What? Is it okay to call you? Is it okay to call you man?
You can call me whatever you want. But I respond to Pete.
All right, Pete. Fair enough. So, he said he wouldn't tell me. He'd only tell the team directly. He said he wants to meet you at the ship. You okay with him poking his nose around there?
Can you describe this person to me, Paul? The skinny guy? Is he in the bar?
No.
Oh, no, I thought he was in the bar.
Well, you know, he's just kind of a small guy. He's, you know, shorter than average, kind of tussled brown hair. Just looked like he needed some sun, you know what I mean?
Is he human?
Oh, yeah. He's got a Coruscant accent. He's probably one of those, you know, paper pushers from main world.
Did he give a name?
No. He was flashing around some coin around here pretty nicely, though, so I think he means business.
What planet are we on?
What planet are we on?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with not Tatooine. For no particular reason.
Not Tatooine.
Yeah.
We could say Nar Shaddaa. I mean, that's kind of like an Outer Rim equivalent of Coruscant.
All right. Sounds good.
So it's
you might have made that up for all I know.
It's actually canon. It's canon.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to correct my pronunciations and tell me things I don't know about species, and it's going to be awesome.
It's like, no, it's Paul, like, actually, you can't do that.
Actually, when I gave y'all this ship, what was it? Forrest just chimed in. It's like, oh, this is what such and such drive. Okay, yeah, that's why I picked it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So can I do I want to see if Sneed is being like shifty, if he's telling us everything that he knows, like to sort of do like a perception kind of check.
Yeah, what would that be? Let's take a look. It's a really good question.
Yeah, because that's something I feel like we're going to be doing a lot of.
Yeah, I know. So I guess, it wouldn't be necessarily perception. Why don't I look into that? But in the meantime, we can use Streetwise. Just, what do you think?
Sure. Sounds reasonable. I don't know really what Streetwise means, but that seems like the kind of thing.
Yeah,
the word sounds right.
Yeah, Streetwise is just, you know, how well you navigate the streets. It's, you know, are you the guy who knows a guy? You know, are you able to land right. in a city and find the you know, the arms dealer, you know, who sells out of the back of his van relatively mm-hmm. easily, or you know, or are you able to find work, underhanded work, you know, fairly easily?
Sure.
So okay, so it's a good time to delve into rolling a little bit. The green dice are just your normal ability dice. Yellow dice are your proficiency dice. And that's just your, as you get more proficient, you get more yellows. And yellows have the potential of adding more to it. They're the only dice with triumphs on it. The blue dice are the boost dice. And so what these are is if like there's any situation, and this will be one, where there's any reason you should have an advantage on your roll. So if you have plenty of time to use your computer check, you're going to add some blues. Uh-huh. Or if in this case, you're going to add a, because you know Sneed really, really. And so you know his mannerism. So that's going to be a blue.
Okay.
The opposite of the boost dice is a setback dice, and that those are the blacks, and that's a disadvantage. So you're doing a computer check and it's like really rushed. That's going to be a disadvantage.
Right.
Your difficulty dice are the purple ones, and the challenge dice are the red ones. Those work the same as green and yellow. The purple ones are just your normal difficulty setting on a roll, but something might be particularly challenging, and that gets your reds in. So, for this
the purple and the red are like the I can't think of the word now.
But it's probably that.
Never mind. Yeah, it's probably that.
So, in this case, your streetwise is one yellow, two green. We're going to add one blue to that because you know Sneed really, really. The difficulty is not particularly difficult. You're going to put two purples into your roll. So yellow, blue, two greens, two purples.
Yellow, two greens, right?
One blue, two purples.
Okay.
And roll.
All right. So I have five success.
Okay.
Three advantage and four failures.
Five successes. Okay. So five successes minus four failures is one success. So you're going to succeed. And you also have an advantage. Now, sometimes I'm going to an advantage is something you were not necessarily trying to do, but it was like a good turn of events anyways. You know, so it's like a little added bonus to your roll. In a lot of cases, you're going to be able to pick what that advantage is. In some cases, I might have an idea, but it's just something to add a little something to your role. In this case, sure. You're successful. You do not believe Sneed is keeping anything back. You know, he very clearly noticed that this guy was throwing around money pretty nicely. And so he's kind of excited about this, about the gig, but the guy was just really not very forthcoming with who he was or what he was doing. So, any idea what the advantage might have been in that?
I think just like getting an increased sort of knowledge of Sneed for future reference.
Okay. Another one we might do is if you want to do this way, you notice like one of the other patrons kind of looking up at y'all, you know, kind of nervously. When he overhears y'all talking about this, so either one is fine.
Okay, yeah. Let's take the noticing the other guy listening okay. in. So, did we get a name for this potential employer?
He wouldn't tell me.
Okay.
It's a weird one. I know. He seemed legit to me. I saw. I've seen a lot of people come through here, and.
I hadn't seen him before.
No, he's never been here before. And you know me, I'd remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did he tell you where we could find him?
He said he would come back here He was so insistent at meeting at the ship, but he kind of said he would check back in a little bit if he hadn't heard anything. That little bit, I don't know what that means.
How would he know where our ship is?
Well, that's a really good question. The guy you noticed before is, you know, had just reached out a hand, and you said that it's shaking.
I'm sorry, what happened?
The guy you noticed before, who was listening in, his hand, you noticed his hand is shaking.
Okay. I'll look over at Pete, and I also signal for what's your name? Segfault to come over to the bar.
Okay, so now that you're all together, why don't you each give me just a little brief description of who you are, your names, and what kind of creature you are, and what your job is on this crew.
All right, who wants to start?
You do.
All right. Well, I'm Krusk. I'm a Trandoshan bounty hunter. I grew up on the home world. You know, I was hired by the Empire during the invasion of Kashyyyk to go help enslave Wookiees. I worked there for a while. Afterwards, I turned to bounty hunting because it was the only thing that made sense. It was the only marketable skill that I had. So I came to this planet and eventually met up with the captain, who's currently indisposed, apparently high on drugs, and asleep at the helm. And I'm kind of his sidekick. We decided to work together, and
we're just making up all sorts of crap about his character while he's here to defend himself. Yep. It's so great.
So, no, I'm a gunslinger. I've got, you know, slight mechanical knowledge, because a lot of my species doesn't have very functional thumbs, so we rely on machines to do a lot of stuff for us. So, that's what I do.
I'm Pete. I'm a droid, a protocol droid. I'm a translator. My main function is mechanic. It's my role. And I'm also... what's it called? Well, I guess I wouldn't know that. I don't remember anything before you woke me up in your trash hauler. Are we still a trash hauler?
What is this?
As you're in here, we're still a trash hauler.
What is this, like the Sopranos? Yeah, we're in waste management.
I mean, that's part of my backstory that I don't remember, is that I was woken up in a trash hauler, so...
I believe that was where I reassembled you, yeah.
Yeah. That makes two of us.
And
gosh, well, you know, you can't make friends, so you just make them.
Nice. I'm also very good at negotiating.
Nice, okay.
One thing that will be important is, out of character, Paul, you know some things about me that I cannot share. At some point, considering, you know, who all's in the party, they might find out those things through the holonet, and we'd need to know when that happens.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And what's your name? Because I can't remember it, because you just told me.
Segfault. I'm a LOM droid that was also assembled. Come again?
It's in the Discord chat.
Yeah.
Segfault.
The reason it's Segfault is because that's the repeating error message from some memory corruption that showed up. I don't remember much before being assembled in the trash hauler, except that I was involved in a super high-profile assassination, and that I think I may have put the patsy on somebody else. So, I don't really know. I just have subroutines for murder, and one subroutine for a killer brand this day.
Nice. Okay, so y'all are all at the bar. What are y'all doing now?
Do I have any money?
No.
That's a good question.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can buy a drink if you want to, but you're a droid, so I'm not sure why you would.
Well, I'm not going to buy anything on credit.
I guess I would ask Sneed if I can have a drink on credit.
That was Sneed's reaction, by the way.
He pours one for you and he goes, "Now be sure and take this job, though."
Yeah, I got you, buddy. All right, I turn to Segfault and Pete, and I want to sort of indicate, I'm not sure if they've noticed the guy over here. He seems to have been listening in, seems a little nervous. I ask him, you guys want to go see what's going on with this dude?
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah, let's.
I mean, that's your forte there, Pete.
I'm gonna go walk over to this dude and introduce myself and say, "Well, I would shake your hand, but I see you're doing that already."
So, all right. So this guy is an Aqualish and not.
Before we start, is he anywhere near the gambling?
No.
Okay.
He is an Aqualish, probably a little large for his race, and is not making eye contact with you, and just, kind of mutters. I would were you speaking?
I was.
What is it called?
Common.
What is it called? Common? Basic. Is it called common?
I was speaking basic.
Okay. And he kind of. Says the Star Wars equivalent of, "I don't know what you're talking about, my friend."
I mean, your hand is very clearly shaking.
In Aqualish, because I think they say something like, "Ah! Ah!" But you understand that.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and sit down at the table with him. I mean, is he by himself?
Yeah. All right. He is. He is kind of really tightening up.
Yeah.
Are y'all trying to, like intimidate him, or are y'all trying to?
A little bit. Yeah, I just plopped down in the seat, kind of as obnoxiously and like overbearingly as possible.
I step back and make sure I'm near the door, in case he wants to make a run for it.
Okay,
I'm gonna use. This is gonna be amazing. I'm gonna use charm, and tell the Aqualish, "You look tense. Would you like a massage?"
All right.
And I'm gonna use his language to make him more comfortable.
Nice. Okay, so you get an advantage on that one. And so your charm is 4 greens.
Yeah.
You're gonna take a blue because you're using his language, and he's really tense. And so I'm gonna make this a difficult roll, and that's gonna be 3 purples.
One success.
He kind of looks at you kind of wide-eyed, and then he starts just chuckling, he realized, or he thinks that it's a joke. I'm not sure if you meant it as such or not, but he thinks it's a joke, and he just starts cracking up laughing at after a minute.
And then I'll say, "Oh yeah, you're right. This isn't that kind of bar."
He's really laughing, and he kind of leans in, and he says, "Look, I'll give you a heads up. That guy in here, that guy he was talking to, the one y'all were talking about, I knew him. That's Firin San, and I don't know exactly what he's up to, but he seems to just be in the middle of a lot. You know what I mean?"
Yeah.
So obviously, okay. I don't understand any of the conversation that's right. happening. But
Quick question.
Might not even know that he's laughing.
Yeah, I probably don't. I'm just sitting there swirling my drink. Yeah.
he just kind of cocks his head back, going, "Ah, ah!"
Oh, that was really loud. Hey, Kai, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
My character being a long droid, I know they share a ton of attributes with protocol droids.
Yeah.
Is language included in that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You can understand him. Cool. All right, anything else y'all want to ask him, or what do you do now?
What did he just say?
He said that the person who's coming to look for our... to employ someone is named Firin San.
Okay.
And he doesn't know that much about him. He just kind of... He seems to be in the middle of a lot of things that happen. And you get the impression, that that, you know, those things are not like, you know, delivering pizza.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask this Aqualish if does he have any specific examples of like a thing that he's been in the middle of that happened?
Oh, I'll tell you what, if you and Segfault could give me a knowledge roll for Underworld against two purples. So Underworld, if you look on the second column under knowledge skills, it's Underworld. So who am I? This is Pete.
Against just, what, three purples?
Two purples. And let me look up. Segfault, do you understand how that happens? Yeah. Your knowledge Underworld is two green. So what you're going to roll is two green and two purple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got advantage one.
Okay.
I got advantage three, failure two.
All right. So neither one of you know who he's talking about, but what we can do with the advantage is what we could do is have have the guy kind of relate some recent events that you would know of, and that this guy Fearon is seems to be connected to that, but just not proven, unless you have a better advantage.
No.
Okay. So yeah, they're just, you know, it's you know, gangster stuff. You know, stuff like, I mean, if you were closer to Hut Space, I'm not sure how close we are to actual Hut Space. You would think that this is like the Huts. So it's just underworld gangster stuff. Some robberies, drugs, hookers, blow, you know, all the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, so- like events that you would have heard, and they're not just on this world. They're on several worlds in the area.
I think it's worth pointing out that if it's just the three of us here, me, P3T3, and Trinkresk, speaking in Trandoshan would probably be a wise thing to do to make sure we're not being overheard, or to keep things private from the bark. Karn Sneed and this fellow, this Aqualish.
Okay, you know that Karn does understand Trandoshan.
Yeah.
It'd be unlikely that many other people...
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's a good point that we could sort of talk aside in a language that's less common.
I'm going to speak again to the Aqualish and say, well, now that I see your hand has stopped shaking... Thank you for this information, and I'll reach out to shake his hand.
He takes it and kind of nods to you and says, "Yeah, you know, yeah, y'all be careful. I assume you know what you're doing, except you know."
Yeah, right. I look up at Pete and say, "What's the word?"
I chime in and say, "He just gave us the best recipe for bantha steaks."
he uses a sous vide cooker. At 147 degrees for 3 hours.
I tell him to stop pulling my tail, but my species doesn't have one.
Okay, I feel gross again. All
right.
Okay, what's next?
I think we should... actually, we could ask the barkeep if he's heard this name.
And he kind of screws up his face. Sound familiar?
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah,
I guess I'll get up and go back to the barkeep and
I was already answering. Sorry,
yeah. Put my empty cup down the counter and ask if he's ever heard of Fear and Sand before.
Trandoshan.
He kind of thinks about it. And he's like, that name sounds familiar. I don't know that I could place him though.
Wait, is Trandoshan the only language you speak?
Me? I don't even speak that language. I mean, I speak all languages of Star Wars.
Atropos. Krusk. Oh, he's gone.
Wow.
He's allergic to mentions.
Yeah, he did not like the answer to that question. He just leaves. He's like, fine, I'm out.
I don't know if he can hear you guys.
I can hear now. You good? I dropped out for a minute.
Can you guys repeat everything from talking to the bar?
Nothing really happened.
I thought they were going to say, could you repeat everything from the beginning? I haven't been listening. Yeah, Sneed, the name is familiar to him, but he doesn't know.
Okay. All right, so what do you guys want to do? Do you want to go back to the ship, or do you want to wait here for this guy?
Well, I don't really want to wait here for the guy. I was just going to tell him, tell the barkeep we'll take the job. Okay. But then maybe if we have any other contacts in the city, or if we don't, we can use our amazing streetwise skills and find some contacts in the city to figure out who this guy is.
Are we in earshot of the barkeep store now?
Whatever y'all want to be.
Wherever we want to be, yeah.
Oh, because I have a suggestion, but anything violent.
Well, then speak it in some totally bizarre language.
Hey, well, I'll speak it in whatever other language that Kresk is.
I'm pretty sure y'all are both familiar with like 3 million languages.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk to each other in whatever we want. Kresk is the one that we have to...
Yeah, I'm the dummy.
I'm sure Kresk speaks like Wiki or something, I don't know.
Like we could start talking like Jabba.
Sorry. Okay, back to reality.
Fearin says, Solo and the Wookiee.
Okay, just like, there's a lot of caps on the line. I mean, not caps, sorry, credits on the line here. I do much follow. There's a lot of credits on the line here, but this guy just sounds seedy, and I don't mind. And he wants to meet us at our ship. I say it's fine if one of us is the monster already, maybe unbeknownst to him. So, because if he's obviously like a playboy, he's got a lot of credits to throw around, but he's also caught up in a lot. And it's super suspicious that he wants to see our ship.
How well known are we?
Not.
Okay. So it wouldn't be like, basically if we told him, yeah, come to Dock 17, we would be doxing ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I like the idea of seeing if there's any other contacts, sort of underground contacts that we have in the area.
Okay.
Yeah, like in the market or something.
Yeah.
Or even right. I mean, we could probably look this guy's name up on the holonet.
Yeah, so we're just going to information about him is so we'll kind of summarize it. You know, he is suspected of just being, you know, one of the kind of higher up black market guys. He's done a really good job of keeping a low profile where like people know his name, but nobody's really sure who, you know, like what organization he's with. Is he the boss? Does he work for someone? He's definitely high up, but no one seems to know that. But he's also, you know, very meticulous guy, very, you know, holds to his agreements very firmly. You talk to some of your, some of the other friends you have who work, you know, black market stuff, and they, you know, some of them have shipped for Fearin, and you know, had no problem getting paid at the end of the day.
All right, my character is willing to meet with him at our ship.
Yeah, me too. I still, okay. I'd rather have Pete talk to him though, and I do want to post up with my rifle.
All right, so y'all are letting Sneed know that, and then, and then, well, I guess you've talked to some people around as well, and you're gonna head back to.
We'll take it.
Doc 17 or whatever it was.
Doc 17.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No, I am your father.
No, that's not true. That's impossible.
This is such an incredible moment. A memory that will bring joy to the hearts of millions of people for generations.
Wait, what?
The sort of thing they talk about on the Retro Station podcast. The stories, movies, music, moments that brought us together as a people. that we enjoyed with friends.
You laugh about this with your friends? My life has been a lie.
Exactly. This is wonderful.
You're crazy.
No, everyone agrees. This is a truly classic moment.
Wait a minute. Did you kill Mom then?
I'd rather not talk about that.
Oh, I bet they talk about that on the retro station, huh? What a classic moment that was when Mom died.
Actually, most people thought that was a bit of a letdown. They made memes making fun of it.
They made memes of Mom?
The Retro Station Podcast, celebrating all those things that made us nerds.
When you get there, you see a kind of a short man, very thin. He's already there.
Oh, he beat us there.
Yeah, and he's kind of strolling around, kind of daydreamy, like he's waiting. He's got a data pad in his hand, and he's just like a really slight figure. Like, you know, a stiff wind could blow him over. He's very clearly underneath your ship. It's not like he's anywhere else. Like, you know, he's not passing by. He is standing like right at the base of your ship.
Hey, can y'all hear when I do this?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's not terrible.
All right, so
I'm going to... When we enter the dock area, I'm going to tap on, like, the wall or something and say, hello there.
He very leisurely turns his head towards you and kind of looks the three of you up and down and then gives you a nod and pulls up his data pad again and starts towards you.
I'm going to walk towards the ship.
So,
and I guess, like, an angle between him and the ship...
So he is looking down at his data pad as he's approaching and doesn't seem to notice in whatever direction you're going in.
Excellent.
But as he's getting closer, he goes, those'll be P3T3. That kind of looks like Petey.
Pete.
Is that Pete? My apologies. I've been told that you're the spokesman for the group.
This will do.
What was that?
This will do.
Right. So, pay us 2,000 credits. It should take you about a week. I could give you more details as long as we have an understanding.
How much money is 2,000 credits?
It's a lot. I mean, it's pretty decent pay for a week.
How much spice could we give Doug? For 2,000 credits.
That is a good question. Let me pull that up because I have those numbers.
You have those numbers.
Bear with me while I'm getting to that page. I should have marked that page because I knew that Peter would ask me.
I'm just laughing at the idea of a hairless Wookiee slumped over at the helm.
Spiced out of his.
All right, here we go. I assume that's going to be in the black market section.
Is fuel something we're going to have to pay for?
No.
Unlimited power.
I'm just going to a different spot so I can tell you. Sorry.
It's fine.
Can Crest?
Or understand them?
Yeah.
Who can?
That's a good question.
What languages does Crest understand and speak?
He can understand basic. I don't think Tradotians can speak basic, can they?
I don't think that they can.
I don't believe so.
I was about to ask where it says what languages we have, but then I realized I have 3 million, so... That would make this character sheet very large.
Alright, so a dose of spice would be 25 credits.
Whoa.
100 would be 2,000.
Oh.
You know... If we can keep Snatch asleep, we could kind of get these credits and not worry about him blowing it all in spice.
How many? So, does he take? Would his character have to take doses regularly, or only if his obligation is rolled?
Only when the obligation is rolled is what it really start kind of feeling it. But like, I mean, if y'all go for extended periods of time and don't have any, then
so it's not like
I would force the obligation.
So it's not like, oh, it's the morning, I'm taking spice now.
No, I wouldn't be that you know, minute with it.
Okay, so then
I assume that he's got enough for a little bit, you know.
Can we tell can we tell Fearon that if he throws in a couple of doses of spice on top, that we'll take the job?
You can try.
I mean, you can say.
He's not going to understand me.
You don't know that. He seems pretty well connected. His data pad might translate.
Okay, I'll ask him if he speaks Trandoshan. In Trandoshan.
I understand it quite well, but I do prefer to have my business done in basic. It's better for record keeping. You understand?
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know that he even wants me to ask him for extra spice. I think really, though, with 2,000 credits, asking for one or two doses of spice is kind of pointless.
Sure.
That's fine. I mean, yeah, two doses would be 50 credits. I'd hope if you negotiate, you'd want more than extra 50 credits.
Right. He would probably think we're like either really bad at our jobs or insulting him.
Yeah.
So I'm considering what I see about this guy, I don't plan on trying to negotiate with him at all. It's just take it or don't take it.
Okay, let's take it.
I would not have said that out loud, though. But I'll say in basic, I think we have an understanding, and we're ready for more details. Since he asked us to have an understanding.
All right. Very good, then. Now, I do. We haven't worked together before, and I am always looking for people I can trust and count on. You do understand, right?
Yes.
I can count on you.
Yes.
I wasn't asking. I can count on you. Come, let's go inside.
Ah.
Tales from the Rusty Speeder is a Play Well Network podcast. You've just been pwned. They make me say that. Dreadnought is modified from an adventure in One Shot First, an Edge of the Empire adventure and sourcebook by Peter Thompson. Link is in the description. Thanks to Sirenscape for the amazing atmosphere and sound. Make sure you check them out at www.sirenscape.com. And you too can be using it at your gaming table. Theme song by the Techno Funk Boy. Come watch us play live at twitch.tv/technofunkboy and support the show at patreon.com/technofunkboy.